verse 6 that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Mark did a very good job beginning in last week and this week on authority in the Bible class and talking about the need for a standard of authority and how important the truth is to us for a lot of different reasons. But as we set out on this new year, I began to think about what direction that I'd like to go in with the preaching, what sermons I'd like to present, what I think would be beneficial to you and to me and to those that visit with us from time to time. And so what I decided to do was that the majority of the sermons that I present, Lord willing, this year are going to have the theme of back to basics. And there's some reasons why that is needed. Now, all of the sermons this year, obviously, are not going to deal with that. Some of the other men that preach may teach on various things, and all the sermons that I present are not going to have that same theme, as there'll be other things that need to be talked about and needed to be preached on as the year goes on. But the majority of the sermons, I plan to preach about simple things back to basics. Again, our scripture reading was from Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Hope you can see the PowerPoint. You shouldn't have any problem about seeing it. And by the way, we appreciate the good work that Mark did in getting that bulk changed and getting the PowerPoint back up and running. So you need to take the time to give him some words of encouragement and way of thanks for what he's done with the PowerPoint. The first reason I want you to think about why we need to get back to basics is because our children need to be taught. There's at least six reasons we're going to look at this morning, five or six, as to why we need the basics. And here's our first one, that children need to be taught. We've got a lot of children. We're blessed with a lot of young people. But they need to be taught the basic elements of Christianity and what it means to be a Christian and the fundamental things contained in the book of God. We get away from that many times because we think that individuals already know that, they've already heard that, and so we don't need to say it again. Yes, we do. And we're going to look at these reasons as to why we need to do that. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, and in verse 10, a verse that comes to my mind and stands out to me as to why we need to do these things is stated in these words, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them," now listen, "which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." It's been stated before that we are but one generation away from not knowing the Lord. And so we need to get back to basics and teach our young people about God and about Christianity, about what it means to be a Christian, about what it means to be faithful, and so forth and so on. I've stated many times that we don't need to know only what we believe, but why we believe what we believe. It's not enough just to say, "Oh, I'm a member of the Lord's church." Why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Can you direct people to the Scriptures that would justify why you do and believe what you do? Can I do that? Can our young people do that? They'll never be able to do that if we do not get back to the basics and teaching our children the right ways of the Lord. And so we need to be busy about doing that. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. You're familiar with these passages. As we think about back to basics, folks, there's nothing we're going to talk about this morning that is difficult to be understood. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Obviously, in the context of that, he's talking about the law of Moses, and we don't live under the law of Moses. We live under the gospel age, under a gospel dispensation, under the law of Christ, James chapter 1, verse 25, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. But the point is, are we teaching that to our children? Not just when it's convenient, but are we teaching that when the opportunity arises? I purposed in my heart long ago that I would pay attention to what Ethan would do. to the point that when he would do something or say something, that if it needed to be corrected, it would be corrected then, and I would tell him about it as opposed to wait. Now, you don't always get to do that. Sometimes you need to spend more time on a situation that arises, or maybe something is said or something they've observed and so forth and so on. But correct it. Talk to them. Teach them about that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The wise man would pen in Proverbs 22 and in verse 6, train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. We need to do that. You know why a lot of people are not obeying the gospel today? You know why a lot of our young people are not doing that? And I don't know all the reasons, but I'll suggest to you at least one. They haven't been taught. And so as we think about throughout the year about back to basics and about fundamental concepts of Christianity, I hope that we'll remember we need to teach our children various things of what the Bible teaches. Spend the time to do that. But there's another reason I want you to think about, and that is that new converts are to be taught. We've had individuals over the last 2-3 years that have obeyed the gospel, and they need to be taught. The Lord stated that very plainly in Matthew 28:19 when He said, go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. Some versions say age. But when an individual obeys the gospel of Christ, we need to take that seriously and try as much as we can to teach them what the Scriptures say. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you're familiar with that, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 5, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. One of the lessons that I purpose to do, Lord willing, this year is, now that I'm a Christian, what's next? Where do I start? That's a fair question. And one that really, as a new baby in Christ, and even as an older Christian, we go back and we ask that question, now that I'm a Christian, what's next? Where do I start? We need to be patient with ourselves. And understand that growing takes time. But understanding that's not an excuse for no growth at all. But we need to recognize where we need to start, that we are a babe, and desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may be able to grow thereby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And so we need to make sure that we're grounded in what the Scriptures teach, that we won't be tossed to and fro, won't bounce back and forth, and jump on every bandwagon that is coming and going, because we don't know the truth. And so, why back to basics? Why is that needed? Because we have new Christians who need to be taught that. And we need to take that serious. It's really easy for an individual who recently obeys the gospel of Christ to get discouraged and to fall away and to give up. And so those who are older, we need to encourage them and to be mindful of that fact, and to do all we can to teach new Christians on how to live and walk the Christian life. But as we think about that, here's a third reason I want you to think about, and that is that older Christians need to be reminded. I'm surprised from time to time to hear older Christians almost murmur and complain because they've heard something that they feel like they've heard one too many times. I'm not talking about hobby preaching. Whereas a preacher would have one topic and that's the only thing that he would preach on. But folks, you need to be reminded about what the Scriptures teach. We all do. There's a tendency as humans to forget things. The children of Israel was warned about that in the Old Testament. That when it came time that they would go into the promised land, he said, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then verse 6, as Paul is writing to Timothy on how to do the work of an evangelist. I want to do the work of an evangelist in the eyes of God and be approved of what God says. And Paul is writing to Timothy for him to do that work. Remember as he taught to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Now listen to this. Do the work of an evangelist. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he's writing to him, and notice what he says as he is telling him what to do as an evangelist. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now folks, if he's talking about reminding them, then that gives us enough information for us to conclude that brethren can forget. He said, would not need to be reminded. If thou put them in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto that thou hast attained. And so, why back to basics? Because people need to be reminded. I learned long ago that preaching and the worth of gospel preaching need not stand in the statements that individuals make. If it is, then you're going to get discouraged pretty quick. And you're going to throw up your hands, whether you're talking about your teaching, your preaching, whatever the case may be, because you're going to run into naysayers. You're going to run into individuals who are looking for any and every negative thing that they can say about the work that you're doing. Now, most Christians are not like that. Most Christians want to see you succeed in the work that you're doing. They want to build you up. They want to lift up your hands and help strengthen your hands. And they'll give you words of encouragement along the way. But we stand or fall in the eyes of God. And so I'm going to remind you about the things that perhaps you have known, but perhaps you've forgotten about them. Why? So that I can be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And God will be pleased with the things that we do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And then over in the book of 2 Peter, a similar statement is made. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore I will not be negligent. You want to be negligent in your duty before God? I don't want to be negligent. Peter's saying, I'm not going to be negligent about that. To put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. In other words, as long as I'm alive, I think it meet, appropriate, suitable, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be reminded. And so, why a series of lessons throughout a year, and even beyond that, on basic things that we find throughout the Scriptures? Because we need to be reminded about that. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy being reminded about things that I have forgotten along the way. There's times, folks, that I'll listen to one of these Bible classes that are being presented, or one of the sermons, or listen to a particular sermon online, or whatever the case may be, or read from a book, and I'll be reminded about something. And I'll think, I remember knowing that, but I forgot about that along the way. We need to be reminded. Someone has once stated, relative to the human mind, that the mind is able to store more than the Library of Congress. But our recall is something different. My recall is not always good. Even though our mind can store a lot of things, we may forget things along the way and need help with that. But number four, because apostasy, which means a drifting away, a falling away, is a real and present danger. It's a real and present danger. There's a lot of resources that you could use in doing this, but if you get the time, whether it is by listening to various sermons or Bible classes, or reading various sermons or articles that were written decades ago or even centuries ago, and compare them with the preaching that is done today from a lot of pulpits, you'll see a vast difference. Maybe a lot of you that are older can acknowledge that today there's a lot of differences in the way that the gospel is preached and what's preached. Drifting away is a present and real danger. And I don't intend to preach anything to you other than what's in this book. I've not once preached to you my opinion or what I feel about the matter, what I think about the matter, the way that I think it ought to be, but have really striven to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that are stated. A lot of congregations don't have that throughout the land. What they do have is a lot of fanciful stories, a lot of tickling of the ears, and a lot of, well, I want the individuals to leave having felt good about themselves and so forth and so on. And there's nothing wrong about feeling good about yourself, so long as it's not to the neglecting of the Word of God. This ought to make us feel good. We ought to feel good that we can read the Word of God, that we can understand it, that we can obey it. But it's not based, as Mark pointed out, on feelings, but on what the Word of God says. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, the church at Ephesus was told, and do thy first works, or else I will come to thee quickly or remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. Congregations can drift away. I can give you example after example of that, of ones that I have seen that have drifted away, fallen away. Some of them closed their doors. Some of them still meeting, but they're not standing squarely upon the pages of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 and 12. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples. Talk about things of the Old Testament. Them murmuring, the children of Israel not being content with doing things God's way, murmuring, complaining, bickering. All these things happen to them for examples that are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We need to make sure that we're standing squarely on the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Most of the falling away that takes place doesn't happen just overnight. Most of it happens because there is a change in the attitude of brethren toward the Word of God. It's no longer held as the only standard by which we can walk. There's no way we're all going to agree on it. I run into that all the time. Even in the body of Christ, individuals have the concept, there's no way we're going to agree on the doctrine of Christ. Well, maybe we might have a disagreement, but we better sit down and open up the Word of God and get to studying about it. God is right. Don't forget about that. Don't be persuaded otherwise about that. Stand on what the Scripture is saying. Listen, if it was not possible, why would Jesus pray that the apostles, and not only the apostles, but the disciples would be in unity on what the Bible teaches, on what the apostles said? Neither pray I for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. Go through there and pick out. Think of all the scriptures that would be torn out of the Bible. In the name of, we can't all agree on what the scriptures teach. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28-32. This is a passage you're familiar with, but we're talking about basic things. As Paul is talking to these elders of the church that met at Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Remember that? Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Even of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day with tears. You think that apostasy is a real and present danger? Absolutely it is. It was in the first century, and it continues to be in the 21st century. And we need to be on guard about that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Someone may ask you from time to time, well, how do you combat that? How do you overcome that? Division and so forth and so on. I'll tell you one way, is get back to basics and preach the fundamental concepts of the Word of God. Preach the Word. And stand for it. No, not everyone's going to agree with it. Not everyone is going to obey it. But you preach it nonetheless. And stand for what is right. But here's another reason. In an ever-changing world, an unchanging message needs proclaiming. This world is fluid. It changes. Societies change. People change. I know there's no new thing under the sun, the wise man penned. But things change. Times change. People's view about what is acceptable and unacceptable changes from one generation to another, even many times within one generation. It changes. Things that I see in our school system today, I would have never thought about when I was going to school. And you that are older than me, you probably would have never dreamed that there would come a time that individuals would be arguing over which bathroom to use. Or what the role of men and women are. Or whether or not an inmate who is serving a life sentence should be at the expense of the taxpayers afforded an operation to change his identity so he could be transferred to an all-female prison that was recently talked about, reported on. I'm telling you that in an ever-changing world, an unchanging gospel message needs to be proclaimed. The message of the cross. The message of Jesus Christ and who He was and what He taught. And how we can go to be with God for all eternity when this unchanging world, or this changing world rather, is over. Make no mistake about it. 2 Peter chapter 3 says that these things are going to be dissolved. Remember that? They're going to pass away. Time will be swallowed up in eternity. Time will be no more. It needs to be proclaimed. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Revelation 14:6 talks about the everlasting gospel. Romans 1:16. In verse 15, He says, I am ready now to preach the gospel unto you also that are at Rome. In verse 16, He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And folks, I suggest to you today that it still remains the power that God employs to save the lives, the souls of men and women. And it needs to be proclaimed. And we need to take that seriously. And I know that so many of you do. So many of you are on board with preaching the gospel of Christ. But we need that. More today perhaps than at any other time. And I don't know how much time will go on. I don't know when the Lord is going to return. I don't know how much time I have on this earthly pilgrimage, and neither do you. But we need to be steadfast to the message of the cross. When someone proclaims something to you that you haven't heard before, your ears need to perk up. Now, it may be that they're teaching you the truth and you just didn't know that. But it may be that they are teaching you something that is contrary to the words of sound doctrine. And so you need to check that, whether it's me or any of these brethren. And don't let your faith stand in men, but in God. Number 6. Back to basics, because every person is responsible for themselves. Folks, I can't throw my spiritual growth over onto you. I can't do that. I can't shirk my responsibility as a Christian and say, well, the church needs to teach me. Yeah, the church has a responsibility to teach and proclaim the message. But I need to understand that I'm responsible for my growth. And you're responsible for your growth. Well, the preacher's not helping me to grow. What are you doing? What am I doing? Why didn't you get anything out of the Bible class? What did you put into it? Did you do your lesson? Did you go home and study? Or did you leave your Bible class material in the seat? You didn't think about it till the next Sunday. Well, I don't get a thing out of that sermon. Well, did you listen to it? I tell you, at the beginning of every sermon that I preach, what it's going to be about. You don't have to wonder, well, what did he preach? I tell you every single time. Take charge and responsibility for your own growth and service to God. In Hebrews 9:27, there is a day appointed unto me and once to die, but after this the judgment. That's why I need to learn what the Scriptures say, because I'm going to die one day. You too. And there's going to be a judgment day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we'll each give account of the things that were done in this body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves, that means test your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Remember what's stated concerning Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 40? In many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You're responsible for that. I'm responsible for that. And so if you're not growing, if I'm not growing, then maybe I need to sit down and take a hard look at where I'm spending my time and what I'm doing and where my interest has been. A lot of the Bible classes, I don't think it was set up this way, but it ended up being this way, for this year will give you a good foundation and a starting place to grow on. So we're talking about what the Scriptures are, our need for authority, and what authority is. We've got class that's lined up, I think, in the second quarter with Brother Greg on a timeline of the Bible. The third quarter, beginning in July, we'll be talking about the overall theme of the Bible, what each of the books of the Bible really talk about, and the time that it covers, and so forth and so on, the message of each book, and just on and on and on. And the sermons, again, that will be presented will be of a basic nature. Again, not all of them, but many of them. Back to basics. We need to learn the gospel of Christ. Someone says, well, where do I start? Where do I start? If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, this is where you need to start. This is a good starting place. Get yourself right in the sight of God. And you do that by doing what the Bible says to do, by hearing the gospel of Christ, Romans 10:17. So that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he says, preacher, I know all of that. I know what. I became a Christian. What do I need to do? You need to grow. But here's a place you can start. You need to commit each one of these to memory, so that you can help teach others what you did to become a Christian, what they need to do to become a Christian. By believing. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. By repenting of your sins, that's a change of mind that results in a change of life. In Acts 17:30, Paul said that God once winked at his ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. By confessing your faith in Christ, that He is the Son of God. The Lord commanded in Matthew 10:32-33. And in that passage, He said, if we deny Him before men, He'll deny us before His Father which is in heaven. And then being baptized in water for the remission of our sins, Acts 2, and in verse 38. And folks, when you do that, God has given us the assurance through His Word that He'll forgive us of everything we've ever committed in the past. Everything. No matter how big, how small in our sight, but all things He'll forgive us of. And He will add us to His church, the church of Christ, the one you read about on the pages of God's Word. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away and you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been living as you